You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Here we are, another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thursday, February 28th, 2019, last day of the month and basically second day of the combine. And that's really all that matters to me. The combine this time of year is right up my alley. It's like my crack. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cannot get enough of it. Wednesday was awesome. A lot of good stuff going on Wednesday. I know a lot of Raider Nation heard what Mike Mayock had to say during his presser. And believe me, we're going to have a lot of that stuff, a lot of that discussion on the podcast today. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you straight up, this podcast is going to be absolutely locked and loaded. This is going to be one of those overtime editions. Who knows what kind of trouble I may get in for this one, but I think this one's going to go pretty long, but it's all good. So I'm going to let you know what's coming up on today's show. First of all, segment number three, since I did not get to any calls on Wednesday's show, I'm going to definitely have some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Don't know how many I'll be able to get in, but I'm definitely going to do that since we didn't get any in on Wednesday because I had Daniel Jeremiah's scouting combine teleconference breakdown. You know, I just had that all on the episode in segment number two and segment number three. And I know a lot of folks appreciated that. A lot of people hit me up on Twitter and said that they enjoyed hearing those breakdowns from DJ, so I'm glad to know that, and now that I do, we'll do more of that. And segment number two, I actually did an interview on Wednesday afternoon with MJ Acosta from NFL Network. You heard her during Super Bowl week. She covers the Raiders like a glove from, like I said, NFL Network at MJ Acosta TV on Twitter. So I did an interview with her Wednesday afternoon after my radio show. That's going to be in segment number two, and it's probably about 10 to 12 minutes. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing, no groundbreaking news or anything, but she's there. She's boots on the ground at the Combine right now, Indianapolis, and so I just kind of got her impressions of day one, got her impressions of what Mike Mayock was saying, just kind of what the vibe was around Indy. And again, if she's there, then why not just go to the source? You know what I mean? Just go to someone who is at the scene, right? So yeah, so that's coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'm going to give you a few thoughts on what Mike Mayock had to say at the Combine Wednesday morning. I told you 9 a.m. Eastern time is when he was going to have his presser, and that was something that I was actually able to watch on Periscope, and I'm sure a lot of you folks did, or a lot of folks went to Raiders.com for that. But also, not only am I going to give you the thoughts of what Mayock had to say, but later in segment number one, like I said, this is going to be a long show today. Later in segment number one, he actually did an interview kind of off to the side with a bunch of reporters. That's probably about 8 to 9 minutes long. I'm going to play the whole thing because I thought it was really good, and it really had more to do with free agency, had to do with Marshawn Lynch, had to do with Jared Cook. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff in there that, you know, wasn't in the actual presser that he did at the podium to start things off on Wednesday morning. So I'm going to play that as well. But right now, I just want to kind of go through some news and notes that he gave during his presser at the podium. He mentioned a few times Derek Carr is the franchise quarterback. Also brought up A.J. McCarron as a backup, and they're happy with him. That was interesting to me because I think they got like a $3 million bonus that they have to pay him, or a $3 million salary that they got to pay him. So I didn't think at all that A.J. McCarron was going to be coming back. And hey, maybe he's not really going to be coming back. Maybe they're just hyping him up for another team to go ahead and trade for him, because remember, they traded for him from Buffalo. So who knows? Maybe they're just trying to gas him up a little bit and make him sound a little bit better than he is. I don't know. But from what it sounded like on Wednesday, the Raiders are very happy with Derek Carr, at least in 2019, or at least for 2019, to be their franchise quarterback moving forward. And it sounds like they're pretty happy with A.J. McCarron as their backup. So I wasn't surprised about the Derek Carr news. I did kind of find it surprising the way he came out and was, as a matter of fact, about it and wasn't like coy about it or trying to be a little deceptive about it, because, you know, maybe trying to jockey and try to get a team to think that maybe they're going to take a quarterback and all of a sudden trade up with the Raiders. But he just came out, as a matter of fact, like basically saying quarterback's the last thing that we really need. And I know a lot of folks that listen to this podcast and have been arguing back and forth about Derek Carr. And it's intriguing to me how that conversation just keeps going on, even when folks don't really want it to go on. Everyone has tried to put it to bed. I'll try to put it to bed a few times. I know PE in North Carolina has tried to put it to bed. Baconators tried to put it to bed. Akeem in Oakland. Selena's definitely tried to put it to bed. A lot of folks have tried to put it to bed, but it somehow it always keeps coming back up. So that's one of those things that's very intriguing. Matter of fact, I even asked MJ Acosta about that, and you'll hear that in this segment number two. I asked her, you know, how does that thing just keep going? How does that conversation keep going? And she's actually someone who listens to the podcast quite often. And so I know she knows it because, again, she listens and she heard it. So anyway, that was just a talk about Derek Carr and A.J. McCarron. I definitely don't think that the Raiders are in the running for a quarterback early in the draft. If they do go get one, maybe it's later in the draft to be like that third string guy, kind of like what Connor Cook was at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like they can go get some guy at that point just to be a developmental dude. Again, I can see them doing that later in the draft, but don't think that they're going to go in that direction early in the draft. Right now, matter of fact, I'm just going to throw it out there. If I'm the Raiders and I'm on the clock at number four, and this is just number four, this is only the first pick in round one. I mean, remember, they have three picks in round one. They have number four, number 24, and number 27, and that's not even guaranteed to be there because they may do a lot of trading. I do expect a lot of trades. Right now, they have 10 draft picks coming up in 2019. I expect it to be a lot more, closer to 15 than it is right now at 10. But we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. But right now, if the Raiders are on the clock at number four, and I'm in charge of running the clock or running the card up there, there's a couple guys I have in mind that I'd like to see the Raiders pick. Just a couple right now, just at number four, and this is only at number four, and I'm going defense with all three of them. All three of these guys, I'm going defense. First, pick A would be Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle out of Alabama. That would be option number A for me, or letter A for me. That would be my very first guy. If he's off the board, option B would be Devin White, linebacker out of LSU. A lot of people are comparing him to Roquan Smith. I know Daniel Jeremiah said on the podcast on Wednesday, well, not on the podcast, but on his teleconference, that he was looking at him and kind of comparing him to Roquan Smith and didn't quite have that high of a grade on him as Roquan, but pretty close. So if he's anything close to Roquan Smith, and that's an absolute alpha dog, then I think that the Raiders need that guy. So he would be option number two for me. And option number three for me, or letter C for me, if I had to pick, would be Josh Allen, edge out of Kentucky. So just for the number four pick overall, I'm looking at Quinnen Williams is option A, Devin White, option B, and Josh Allen, option C. And that's because, one, the Raiders have so many holes, but that defense really needs an alpha dog on that side of the ball. They need to have that dude. Last year in the draft, going into the draft, I either wanted Roquan Smith or Derwin James. And the Bears took Roquan Smith at number eight overall, so I realized that, you know, the Raiders didn't have an opportunity to get him. I was hoping they were going to go get Derwin James. Well, we all know who that shook out. They went and got Colton Miller. But right now, Quinnen Williams, Devin White, Josh Allen, in that order, if all three are still on the board at number four when the Raiders go pick. And that's early. That's February 28th, 2019, so we'll see. Also, I don't think there's any reason for the Raiders to trade up probably at any point in this draft. They need so many players, and they need so many dudes. They need so many skill players. They need so many guys. They need bodies, but really good bodies. I don't think there's any reason to trade up. Now, later on in the draft, if there's just some guy that they just really, really want and think the team in front of them is going to hop them and get them or something like that, fine. But for the most part, if the Raiders do any trading, and I specifically said I believe they're going to do that, they need to trade back as much as possible. I'd be okay with that. But no trading up as far as I'm concerned. So that was just a little side note that I wanted to make sure to drop in there because, again, the Raiders need dudes. They need bodies. Now, I mentioned Mike Mayock and doing a little presser off to the side. It wasn't really a presser. Just kind of met with some reporters, and they was asked a bunch of questions about free agency. Matter of fact, I know Vic Tafer was one of the reporters there for sure. I know some people from Raiders.com were there for sure. I know MJ Acosta was there listening, and, you know, there's a bunch of different folks there. But this is about 8 to 9 minutes of just Mike Mayock talking free agency, and really things get kicked off with Vic Tafer talking about Marshawn Lynch. So I said this episode is going to probably be a long one. This little part of it is going to end segment number one. So, yeah, it's probably going to be long. But here's Mike Mayock at the Combine on Wednesday talking to a group of reporters about the Raiders, in particular free agency. This is coming to you courtesy of Raiders.com.
You talked to Marshawn at all, any sense of where he's at or where you guys are?
I haven't talked to Marshawn. I know John has, I believe, talked to Doug, his agent. I talked to Doug a little bit. And the reality with Marshawn is obviously he's still coming off an injury. I think he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do. And obviously we'd be open to potentially having him back depending on what his position is.
When do you need to know that? Because it impacts maybe who you would go after in free agency or the draft when it comes to the running back?
You know, I think it's, you know, all of free agency is like a jigsaw puzzle. And, you know, you got X amount of dollars to spend. And I think part of, a lot of it has to come from Marshawn and, you know, what he wants to do, how quickly he feels like he can come back off the injury, what he wants to make. Does he want to make a commitment to going back to work again? I just love the fact that if he's in the running back room, we've got somebody for our young guys to look up to and learn how to work from.
When you looked at his film from weeks 1 through 6, still the same guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a couple of good third down change of pace guys. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of young guys we're excited about. So the first and second down run game, both with Lynch and Martin, did a nice job last year.
Do you think this draft class has a couple potential number one wide receivers that could fill that role for you guys?
I think this wide receiver class is a little different than a lot of years. A lot of years you have a dominant one or two or three wide outs where everybody goes, oh, they're the top three. I think what we're seeing this year is that for about three or four rounds, there's good wide outs. Solid wideouts that can come in and start for you, but I don't think there's any really, you know, just number one guy that's going to come in and say, I'm the number one wideout in this draft. So I think it's more about finding guys that fit what you do scheme-wise, and I think that's what we're in the process of trying to figure out now.
John had said it in a podcast on the team website that in free agency you guys are going after young, blossoming players, and last year there were a lot of older veterans and there was a high volume mm-hmm. of free agents. Why mm-hmm. this kind of shift in philosophy as we
I wasn't here last year, so I can't speak to why they decided to do what they did last year. I can only tell you from my perspective that free agency always is perceived with caution in my eyes, and I think there's more busts over time than there have been Pro Bowl players. So what are you looking to do in free agency? Number one, fill some holes. And we have some holes we need to fill. Number two, I'd much rather have some young guys that can compete and potentially come to Vegas with us and be a part of what we're doing going forward, as opposed to, you know, the 35-year-old stopgaps. So I'm not saying there's not a fit for some of those one-year guys, because there are certainly fits, but I think we'd much rather do it with some young guys that can compete and hopefully be part of who we are down the road.
On the lines of building toward the future, when you sign multi-year contracts, you guys have a unique scenario or situation where players who are signed today are done so in California with the highest state income taxes. Yeah. Nevada, there are zero state income taxes. Right. Does that afford you some versatility to structure contracts, backloading some money to make your team more attractive to potential free agents?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. We can't counsel them on tax matters, you know, technically and legally, but I think they're all aware of it. And I think once we start getting into trying to structure contracts that cross over into the Nevada time frame, we've already seen agents that have asked, a bunch of agents have asked questions and want to know when it's going to be. And really the genesis of that is, hey, you go from 13% to 0%, that's pretty good pop in a contract.
How much competition do you guys anticipate for Jared Cook on the market? And is that still a high priority to re-sign him?
Yeah, we'd love to have Jared back. I mean, he had a great year, represented us in the Pro Bowl. I mentioned earlier about free agency being a jigsaw puzzle, and that's what it is. And, you know, we've got a bunch of needs. We've got to prioritize. We'd love to have Jared back, but we're trying to figure out, as he is, what's the market going to be, and what's he want to do, and what can we do when we find out what that market is.
Mike, I got a team building question for you.
Yeah.
So obviously the league MVP is in your division and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I know you're going to build the best team possible the best way you want to, but I'm wondering if there's even like just a little bit that makes you have to try to build your team around contending with this guy because he's just 23.
Yeah, and I think I've always believed that when you build a team in the NFL, you got to build it based on who you're trying to beat in your division. So it's not just about Kansas City, but it's about those pass rushers and the Chargers have, and it's about every team in our division being able to rush the quarterback and be dynamic on offense. I really meant what I said in there. I think it might be the most challenging league to in both conferences, most challenging division in both conferences from that perspective. So I sit there and stare at that whiteboard every day and say, I got Patrick Mahomes, we got Tyreek Hill, and we got Kelsey, and how do you defend that, right? And then you flip it over and look at the Chargers and look at their pass rusher. Then you look at Von Miller. And so as I look at that whiteboard, it's just a constant reminder of the challenge. And I think I think you're always trying to build a roster to defend the quality in your division. Patrick Mahomes is as good as any quarterback in the league right now.
Mike, you were pretty bullish about Derek Carr. What do you, obviously the conversation in other places is a little different about him, you know, just looking at last year, some inconsistencies. Where does he still need to improve?
I think Dark can make every throw, any throw you ask him to make. I think when you're talking about a team that's 4-12 last year, you know, and you know everybody talks about 2016, but it's been two hard years since then. And there's been some injuries up front, and there's been some breakdowns in protection. He's gotten beat up, and I think there's a tendency, just about any quarterback I've ever seen in National Football League, when they get beat up, bad habits occur. You know, and I don't care if you're talking about, you know, Eli Manning, who won two Super Bowls. You know, when Eli got beat up, bad things happen. So I think you have to take into consideration when you evaluate Dirk what he had around him, both as from a pass protection and dynamic weapons, and go from there. And I know the talent's there, and I believe in the kid.
AJ, McCarron has a pretty sizable bonus coming up. Do you guys anticipate paying that and keeping him around in 2019? Have you made that choice?
I think I think John and I both believe that the backup quarterback's one snap away from playing. So it's important to have a guy like McCarron ready to go.
Go ahead. I was going to say, so much of the combine, while is a focus on draft prospects, there's also free agency. Free agency is near. What's your involvement in terms of all of that, the meetings with agents, and just some of the back channel type of things that happen here?
We obviously have to be very careful because of the rules in place, and you know the league year doesn't start until March 13th, and you know so we've done. I've spent hours and hours with John Gruden and the coaching staff watching free agency film. Mm-hmm. We've spent the last couple of weeks kind of leading into that, just doing nothing but free agency, talking about what we're going to do, what our game plan is, how we're going to do it, and how does that complement the draft. You know, so don't even smile, McDonough. Just keep walking. Both you guys. Don't say a word. You too, Ryan. I want to hear it. So really the reality is there's got to be a complete game plan in place. You've got to take into account what are the strengths and weaknesses of the draft, and how do we go out and fill some of those complementary holes in free agency. And that's kind of what we've been doing.
You've done this for a while, obviously, involved in the draft. Having three picks, you know, four in the top 32, kind of gives you guys kind of...
Top 35.
But I kind of put you guys in the driver's seat a little bit in this draft. You guys kind of... controlling how this goes a little bit, dictating the tempo?
I think anytime you have multiple picks in the first round, teams are interested in what you may or may not do. So I think we're going to have a lot of interest in our picks, and I think we'll be open for business.
When you look at the roster and the guys that are under contract, do you feel like you have to go get that free safety, the deep safety kind of leader? Obviously, Reggie getting older, Marcus being a Gilchrist being a free agent. Do you think that's a point that you have to address?
I think the problems we have, Coach, the problems we have so many needs right now, I don't think we can just approach one. I keep talking to our salary cap people and our coaches and personnel people, and it sounds weird, but I keep talking about be nimble. We got to be nimble throughout the whole process. We've got to be able to address, you know, you talk about a free safety, but we have so many needs. At the end of the day, you know, we've got offensive line needs, we've got corner needs, we've got needs everywhere. So it all depends who's available, when they're available, and whether we're talking free agency or draft.
All right, so there's that. This episode is already going long, but it's all good, man. It's the combine. It's this time of year. It's the offseason, and we are full throttle, hair on fire, sticking in a tank of gasoline, you know, just go. That's what we are right now. So coming up in segment number two, we're going to keep this go going. As a matter of fact, MJ Acosta from NFL Network, I got a chance to catch up with her on Wednesday. She's at the combine. Spent about 10 to 12 minutes talking with her. You're going to hear that next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on the last day of the month, Thursday, February 28, 2019, and having a fun edition of the Locked On Raider podcast already on this show, just based off segment number one. But segment number two is going to be really good as well. MJ Acosta from NFL Network. You can find her on Twitter at MJ Acosta TV. Really good reporter who covers the Raiders like a glove, and I talked to her at the Super Bowl, and I got a chance to talk to her on Wednesday, catch up with her basically after the first day of the combine just to get her thoughts. Going to get into it right now. It's about 10 to 12 minutes with MJ Acosta. Here's my conversation. Joining me now on the phone lines to talk a little bit of scouting combine is MJ Acosta. You can catch her on NFL Network at MJ Acosta TV on Twitter. And she does a great job of covering the Raiders. She's been on the podcast before. And MJ, you're at the combine. Mike Mayock, Raiders GM, he spoke bright and early Wednesday morning. As a matter of fact, first GM to talk. So he had some pretty interesting notes coming out of that. What was your biggest takeaways from Mayock and his presser?
You know, one of the main things that kind of perked everybody's ears was when he started talking about Derek Carr, because we've heard plenty of rumors and there was a lot of speculation throughout the 2018 season about Derek Carr's future with the Raiders and if he'd be the guy in Vegas. Well, today Mayock said, as of right now, they are happy at the quarterback position and moreover that they're happy with their backup, AJ McCarron. So he says that they're good right there. But then he went on to talk about all of the top prospects, including how he called it the quote, Oklahoma kid, yeah, that guy we may have heard of, Kyler Murray, and he called him fascinating. He said he's just so intriguing and that all 32 teams are trying to figure him out. So obviously they're having some conversations about QBs there. So while they may be happy today, that doesn't mean that won't change from now until the draft.
Do you have any idea why Derek Carr is such an intriguing conversation piece? I mean, it's something that, I mean, we experience on the podcast almost daily. It's just like, some people are sold that he is absolutely the guy. And then there's other folks that are just like, well, look at his win-loss record. He's just not that guy all the time. And it seems like there's a split division of the fan base, whether he's the guy or he's not.
I think it's tough because you want to root for Derek Carr, right? He's such a likable guy. You hear him in the press conferences. He's super accountable. Plus, we've seen what he's capable of. So we saw that potential kind of reach. I wouldn't say a maximum because I think there's more that he can do. But we saw that 2016 season that he had pre-injuries. And then we saw the drop-off. And then some inconsistencies this past season. Although it did get better towards the latter part of the season for sure. And the big, you know, that's got to translate to wins for people to really be 100% locked in. And I think that's where the conflict comes in. It's tough to say. And then you have the Gruden effect when he's trading away some of these key guys. You wonder if the QB could be next. I think it's not so off the board to wonder that.
Now, when you think about Kyler Murray, and I know he's not going to get measured till Thursday, and that's obviously probably the biggest talking piece going on at the combine right now is exactly how big this guy is.
He gets measured.
you think there's a chance he doesn't get measured?
He could. He could very well walk in and say, you know what, I'm going to let y'all speculate. Just, you figure it out. Eye it.
Right. That would be such a Kyler Murray move, too, wouldn't it?
It'd be hilarious.
Jeez. Well, if he does get measured and say he comes in 5'9", 7'8", whatever, close to 5'10", and he's sitting there at number 4 when that draft comes up, do you think there's a chance, just a chance, that Mike Mayock and John Gruden say, you know what, let's pull the trigger on this guy?
Why not? I think that there's enough there, obviously. There's enough interest. There's enough intrigue around him and what he has been able to do despite being quote undersized that they could take a gamble. And why not have him learn behind Derek Carr for a few years and see if he develops and see what happens? Hey, who knows, maybe he'll reach another growth spurt, I don't know, but it could, anything could happen at that point. I just don't think that there's anything off the board. With that being said, though, I think they are being very calculated, as they should be, about who they take and when. But when you have a guy like him that he's such an enigma, you know, why not grab him if you can, if he's there and available, and if you're really thinking long-term?
You know, it's so funny. This conversation is going to go on until absolutely the draft comes up. He gets picked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he's gone and he's on another team or he's somewhere else. This conversation is going to be had just about every day. Now, one of the questions that I heard asked, and matter of fact, I believe you asked the question to Mike Mayock, was about just what he's going to do or what the plan is for the draft picks in round one. And he basically was saying that it seems like all the picks are just as important as those first round picks.
Totally. And I agree with him. They are. But what I got from that, what that says to me is I think they're going to make some moves. I think they have so much draft capital right now that they don't have to, you know, paint themselves into a corner and say we're definitely going to go this way or that way. Kind of like the world is their oyster, and especially in this first round with the leverage that they have and the amount of picks that they have. So that could mean a move up, a move back, a shift. Who knows what they're going to do and what Gruden and Mayock are going to concoct together. But I thought it was interesting that he didn't want to focus solely on those three first round guys. But they have plenty of needs, as he said, that I wouldn't want to give them away.
Right.
GM, I want to keep my pick.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What has been your impression so far as him of the GM of the Raiders?
You know, he's just so calm, cool, and collected. And, like, player evaluation stuff is nothing new to him. He's been doing this literally for decades. And he knows Gruden so well, and they have such a similar work ethic. I think he said he had, like, 15 days straight, like, 12-hour days, all draft talk. And something interesting that he mentioned today was that they have a board of the AFC West. Like with like little magnets. I'm almost thinking of like a detective. You know how they put like their key, key people, and then they have a little string connecting them. Like I can totally see like a war room scenario with that. So I think he's taking this beyond seriously. They're putting a lot of stock in him, as they should. And as a GM, so far he seems real calm, cool, and collected. But we're just getting started here. You know, he got hired New Year's Eve.
So right.
Like, we got a ways to go.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll tell you what, he did look the part. As I was watching on Periscope, and he was looking the part. So we'll see what he does come draft time. Right now, talking to MJ Acosta at MJ Acosta TV. She's from NFL Network, covers the Raiders like a glove. And obviously, being at the Combine, it's about, you know, scouting the players that are going to be entering the draft. But also what happens at the Combine is GMs and head coaches and agents and everybody get together, not saying legally, but they get together and start talking about, you know, potential players, potential trades, potential free agents. What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown? What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown and the possibility of him being a Raider? John Gruden has mentioned him before many times, saying how much he admires him and even compared him to Jerry Rice at times. Do you think that there's a chance that one of those, maybe those that second round pick, that number 35 overall, gets moved to Pittsburgh for Antonio Brown?
Why not? I mean, at this point, like, I think I was talking to my colleague, Jim Trotter, who's a tremendous mm-hmm. voice in the NFL. And, you know, he said that the fingerprints of everything that happens moving forward with the Raiders are 100% on John, which is absolutely true. And I can see him making, like, a big move like that. And they said today, Mayock said today, that free agency moves are going to be huge for them, which is, I feel like in recent years at least, hasn't been like the big talk with the Raiders.
Right.
But I think this year that's going to be the shift, especially if they want to be hyper-competitive by the time they get to Vegas. So how alluring would that be that Antonio Brown comes to Oakland's final year and then goes to Vegas?
Oh, boy.
I don't think it's so crazy. I mean, I know that there's a lot of, like, AB to the Niners talk,
right,
all the stuff on Twitter. Maybe it's a deflection. Who knows? Those backdoor deals and you know, those little meetings that happen at places like this always kind of spark my interest. So I think the things that get discussed this week could have longer implications when we get closer to the draft and as we get near free agency mania in the next week or so.
I don't know how Antonio Brown and Vegas would go together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
crazy.
It could be awesome, but it could be crazy, like you mentioned, at the same time. Oh, man.
Right.
That would be absolutely nuts. Well, I've been calling this draft the most important draft in Raiders history just because, like you mentioned earlier, all the holes that they have. Would you think that that's fair to say that as well?
I think so, too. And I think now, given what we saw last season, I think there was so much hope and so much, more than hope, expectation, having Gruden back after being away from the field for so long. I think he has a ton to prove, and he's a very prideful man. So I think those things, we're going to see more Chucky, I think so, in 2019. He was a little bit more passive,
mm-hmm.
and I was a little surprised by that in 2018. Like, post-game press conferences, yeah, we just got to get better. We're going to get there. I'm like, who are you? But I think that's going to be a big shift. He's really going to start kind of really pushing at these guys. Like, they gotta come up.
I saw somewhere where Mike Mayock said that Marcel Ateman, who was a seventh round draft pick in 2018, was basically the number one wide receiver as of right now for the Raiders, and that really made my ears perk up. But then at the same time, I thought, well, there really isn't any other weapons right there. And Jared Cook, you don't know if he's going to come back. What's your feelings on Jared Cook? You think that I saw where they said he's going to test free agency, but you think he's going to eventually return to the Raiders, or you think he's going to go somewhere else?
I think he'll stay put, especially seeing what we saw from him last season. He was such a vital piece in the good production that we did see from the Raiders. So I can see him sticking around, especially with the last year in Oakland. I can see him just wanting to stay put.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. It'll be interesting. You know, I know they're going to test that free agency. I just don't know what the market is going to be for him. I just got a couple more questions for you. The Raiders have finally decided that Oakland is going to be the spot for one more year. I know we discussed that at the Super Bowl a little bit. But Marshawn Lynch, do you think Marshawn Lynch returns one more year since they'll be playing in Oakland?
I think now that they have kind of, it seems like that whole situation is going to be taken care of. I can definitely see him returning for just one more time.
Right.
But we'll see, I also kind of think he's a little tired. I mean, he retired once already.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's just like, oh, come on. It's up to the younger guys now. Like, y'all can take it from here. With Marshawn, you just never know. Literally never know.
No, you don't.
I don't think he knows when he wakes up in the morning what's going
to
happen.
You know what? I wouldn't doubt that. And when he lit up that Al Davis flame and then he tried to light up a blunt too, I was like, oh.
I cannot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I just kind of put my hand over my face like, oh, no.
It was the most Marshawn thing ever to do.
Oh, no, it really was. So it's not like I didn't believe it. I just at the same time couldn't believe it. So final question for you, and it doesn't have to be Raiders related, but it's really the first day that the Combine is really, really getting the wheels turning. What has been your overall impression? Is there anything else that stood out to you worth noting?
Yeah, we're definitely just getting started here. I think a big thing is how locked in, you know, like the coaches are, but they're still so approachable. Like, you know, you can literally just go up to anybody and talk to them, and that's been really interesting in terms of being able to pick different coaches' brains, and not just like head coaches, but running backs coaches and wide receiver coaches and QB coaches. So that's kind of like a fun part, to be able to see the other side of it, and guys that we don't necessarily always get the access to just be able to go up and have a conversation. So everyone, there's a lot of buzz this year. It's an interesting draft for sure. So it'll be cool.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I thought it was really interesting that Mike Mayock was the first guy up today. John Gruden's going to be the first guy up on Thursday. That's going to be interesting. So I know you got a lot of work ahead of you, so it'll be a lot of fun. Enjoy your time there, and come draft time in April in Nashville, I'll see you there and catch up again then.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting my boots ready for Nashville. It's
going
to be lit.
I'm telling you, it's going down. That's MJ Acosta right there. You can catch her on NFL Network at MJ Acosta TV. I appreciate your time. Like I said before, you do great work, and go get them. And like I said, I'll catch up to you soon.
Thanks, Q. Always fun coming on the pod.
Good stuff right there. Really appreciate having her on the show and her making herself available when she doesn't have to do that, man. She's there at the Combine. I told her that I'm going to catch up with her at the draft, and I will. And she told me straight up that, hey, Q, at some point you got to get to the Combine. It is a great networking experience. It's also just a great experience in general, so you definitely got to make it here one time, and I will. That was her first Combine, so at some point I'm going to make my first Combine as well. But anyway, good stuff right there from MJ Acosta. Again, you can follow her on Twitter if you want, at MJ Acosta. Costa TV. She's from the NFL Network, and she does a great job. So I definitely appreciate her for her time, and she had a lot of good stuff right there. And a lot of interesting answers right there. So Raider Nation, you can always let me know what you think. 707-654-4693. Speaking of that, that's the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. I got some calls coming up in segment number 3 coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders Podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, February 28th, 2019, last day of the month, and it's been a heck of an episode so far. We're going to keep this party rolling. Got to hit the calls on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Going to have a lot of calls on Friday's episode as well, but definitely got to get some in right now. So let's start things off. Matter of fact, you're going to find a theme on these calls today. Got a lot of the South. Just going to throw that out there. Raider Al in Georgia. He's calling to talk about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, his interest or lack of interest in those two guys. He also talks about Michael Crabtree, much to my dislike, but it's all good. And he briefly mentions Derek Carr. Here's Raider Al in Georgia.
Q, what's up, my brother? Raider Al from Georgia. Been listening for the last few days. Everybody talking about Le'Veon Bell and Antonio. Yo, bro. I don't want either one, man. Keep that drama in Pittsburgh. Those guys, they may be talented, which I'm not saying they're not talented, but they're also drama queens. You know, if they were on any other team, that coach probably would have been fired. But I think Mike Tomlin gets a pass because Pittsburgh don't fire their coaches. I think they had like 3 coaches in 50 years. Neither one of them I want, but I see Michael Crabtree is available. I would consider taking him back, maybe on the veteran's minimum, if he will play for that. But I still think the guy can play. And I hear the Derek Carr chatter keeps going on and on and on. You know I'm a Derek Carr supporter. You know, I'm going to say what I said before. Give him 2019, put some weapons around him, and see what we got. Now, if he doesn't perform in 2019, We may have to do what we have to do. Definitely don't want to give him another big contract. Raider Nation for life. Raider Al out.
All right, well, Raider Al, good call, but he wasn't done. He had to call back and hit me up again about AB and Le'Veon Bell. Brings up some more good points. It's one of those things like, oh, and I forgot. So he added that on. So here's Raider Al in Georgia a second time.
Yo, Q, Raider Al, I had to call back. What other podcast in the world let you call back? Anyway, with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, another thing, both of those guys want more money. I mean, Bell's asking for $25 million a year, right? Antonio wants his contract renegotiated. You're owed $21 million a year. How much money do you want? Now, who's going to be foolish enough to give him that money? I hope it's not the Raiders, because usually when it's somebody I don't want, they end up getting them. Please, John Gruden, stay away. Another thing, Q, I want to thank you for having this podcast, because I could talk Raiders all year round. You know, I finally met somebody in my area that is a die-hard Raider fan, man. He's the first one I met. I've been in Georgia for 11 years. And, you know, I got to put you through the test, and he passed the test. I mean, he invited me to some stuff that I didn't even know about the Raiders. And, you know, I've met people in the past saying they're Raider fans. This is how you lose me. When you say, I used to be a Raider fan, you lose me right there. I'm done. Because once a Raider, always a Raider. Peace out.
All right, good stuff, Raider Al, two times. Definitely appreciate that. Now, keeping things rolling in the ATL, my man John Train, he calls in to talk about when the debate with Derek Carr, if he's the franchise quarterback or not, will end. And it's funny because it starts and ends with the same guy. Good stuff from John Train in the ATL.
What's up, Q? John Train, ATL, calling again, man. Just catching up on these podcasts. And I just heard a caller say that the Derek Carr debate needs to stop. And I got to say, only one person can make this debate stop, and that's Derek Carr. So I'll tell you that this debate will stop when Derek Carr throws 25 to 30 touchdowns in a season. I don't think that's too much to ask. When he stops throwing boneheaded interceptions, this debate will stop. When he stops grounding the ball on fourth down, something I have never, ever seen a quarterback do, this debate will stop. When he develops some sense of pocket presence, which he has never had in his career, all right, this debate will stop. When his deep ball accuracy improves, it'll stop. When he stops looking scared in the pocket, this debate will stop. And when he stops looking like he's crying on the field, maybe this debate will stop. If you think about it, if Derek Carr played for the Chiefs or the Chargers or the Broncos, and he pulled that stunt that he pulled in London looking like he was crying, we would be laughing our asses off. We would be glad to have him in our division and compete against him. All right, the fact is that ever since Derek Carr got paid, he has regressed. He will never be elite. He's going into his sixth year. He should be going into his prime. We know what he is. He can be very good. We've seen him be very good, but only if everything around him is on schedule and perfect. And in my opinion, that's not what you expect when you give a quarterback $20 million a year. I hate to say it, man, but the Raiders paid the wrong guy from the 2014 draft. I'm out.
Lots of good points right there, my man. Lots of good points. Definitely appreciate that. Now, a guy who got a lot of things started about a week ago or so, P.E. in North Carolina, calling to respond to everyone who was calling him out, and then he changed his mind because of a particular call in general. He'll tell you all about that. Shouts out a couple callers from the pod. He also brings up the Khalil Mack situation and the impact that the team took when he was traded. Here's P.E. in North Carolina.
Dude, what's going on, man? P.E. from North Carolina. What's going on, Raider Nation? Man, Q, got people coming from my head, man. But that's all right, though. I expected it. I knew it was coming. Man, look, let me tell you, Q. I had responses, man, for everybody. And I was gonna, you know, I was gonna come with some fire too. But I kept listening to the show. I heard Raider Jim's call from the Pacific Northwest. And I said, you know what? That guy right there, he said it better than I could have ever said it. He pretty much encompassed everything that I have been trying to say, you know, this whole time. And, you know, what he said was exactly how I feel about Derek Carr and the Raiders. So, Raider Jim, if you don't mind, I'm just going to let your phone call be my response to everybody, bro. Great phone call. Appreciate it. Also, Smith Raider. That was a great phone call, too, man. I don't ever take any of this stuff to heart, man. I know it's all just Raider banner back and forth. It's all good with me. But I like the nickname, and I think I'm going to run with that. That's pretty cool, man. So, but look, moving on from that, we'll have more Derek Carr conversation, I'm sure, in the future. But moving on from that, I want to talk about the Khalil Mack thing that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's really fair, Q, to just look at Khalil Mack's sack numbers and say, well, he had 12 sacks. And, you know, if you add his 12 sacks to our 13, we're still last in the league. I don't think that's a fair way to look at it, and here's why. Yeah, he had 12 sacks, but if he's not traded, then Bruce Irvin doesn't become a malcontent. And then so you can also add Bruce Irvin's 7 or 8 sacks in, or 9 that he gives us every year. You can throw that into the mix. Then when you got those two wild dogs coming off the end, who knows, maybe one of the guys up the middle, maybe one of the linebackers, maybe they get a few more sacks. Maybe Khalil Mack's pressure causes the quarterback to hurry a pass. Maybe we get a few more picks. You know, so you just can't say his sack numbers alone dictate that. And let's not forget, he's the best run defender in the league. How does that change the offensive game plan, you know? And then the last thing on that, man, is by trading Khalil Mack when you did, you pretty much blew up the locker room right before the season. And Donald Penn said it was tough. Of course, Bruce Irvin said it was tough. So, as a fan, you know, we just got to take it as what it is. That was a tough situation for them to go through. And, you know, I'm not saying how many more games we would have won with Khalil Mack, but I do know this. I know that Mack absolutely changes games, Q. He absolutely changes games. And who's to say that, you know, in one of those early games that we needed to stop on the last possession, I mean, who's to say he doesn't have one of his sacks in, and that causes us a win or two. And it's a whole lot different ball game when you're looking at 3-1 versus 1-3, or even 2-2 versus 1-3. You know what I mean? So, for all the people that are saying, if you look at the Khalil Mack trade and you get another pass rusher and you add 2 draft picks, I mean, I get it. I understand what they're saying, and that's a good way to look at it. But Brother Marquise brought it up last week as well. What's up, Brother Marquise? He talked about how sometimes we let our fandom influence, you know, the way we think about things. And I think that's one of those situations where us as fans are just trying to come to grips with the Khalil Mack thing. And so we got to say, we got to look at it that way in order to make sense of it. So, you know, that's my 2 cents on the Khalil Mack thing, man. I'm a huge Khalil Mack fan. I wish we had never traded him. You just really can't replace that guy. You can replace his production, but you really can't replace what he was. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So I'm always going to be on the side of we never should have traded Khalil Mack. I don't care who we pick up or how many draft picks we got. Doesn't matter. We shouldn't have traded that guy. That guy should have been a Raider for life, man. So that's my opinion on it. Peace out, Raider Nation.
P.E. brings up a bunch of good points, and you know, it's funny, and I don't think he was pointing at me in general, but I brought up Max 12 sacks and mixing them in with the Raiders 13.5 sacks, or Max 12.5 sacks to go with the Raiders 13 sacks, and it'd only be 25.5, and they'd still be dead last. I brought that up, but I didn't bring it up to justify the trade. And there's a lot of folks that have come at me on Twitter and said, oh, you're trying to push a narrative that it doesn't matter that he's gone. I never said that. Matter of fact, Raider Nation, if you remember and go back to September 1st, the day he got traded, 2018, and the episode of the podcast, it was a Saturday morning that I did after doing a whole night of high school football, Texas high school football. Then I had to go do my yard work. Then I went to the radio station, record the podcast. You go back to September 1st, 2018, you listen to my podcast, you know that there's no way I was in favor of going ahead and trading him and he didn't matter. So I never pushed that narrative. All I said was that with Khalil Mack gone, and then you see what the Raiders did without him, and then you realize what maybe they could have done if you just combined that, there's still a lot of holes. That was my main point. The team still had a bunch of holes, which is something John Gruden talked about when he first took over the job. And again, not trying to justify Khalil Mack being traded, because I never wanted that guy traded for all the reasons that P.E. just said. The dude was a hell of a guy. He was a hell of a leader. You don't see him getting in trouble off the field. I mean, he was out there just doing his thing, you know, and he was a heck of an impact player for the Raiders. So, no, I will never, ever say that that was an okay trade. I'm just saying there's a lot of holes around him. He actually disguised a lot of holes, just like similar to what Derek Carr did in 2016 when he had a bunch of come-from-behind victories and kind of made the team look better. Khalil Mack's defenses were always awful, but he just disguised it to make it look a lot better. So, no, just because I say that if you combine his sacks and the Raiders' sacks, they still would be dead last, that's a fact. But I'm not saying that that's okay and that makes it okay for him to be gone. Not saying that. I'm just saying that the Raiders have a lot of holes on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, that they need to shore up. So, again, I don't think P.E. in North Carolina was saying that to me, but I know I've caught a lot of hell from people on Twitter saying that that's the narrative I was pushing, which, one, if I'm going to push a narrative, I'll just come out and say it. I'm never going to disguise it or do an underlining or try to, you know, low-key it. If I'm going to say something, I'll come out and say it. I have no problem with that. Again, not getting mad at P.E. It just ruffled my feathers one day when someone was hitting me on Twitter talking about, that's what you're trying to say. Look, Jack, if I'm trying to say something, I'm going to say it straight up. Again, I know I'm not talking to P.E. I'm talking just in general, but that's what was going on. Anyway. Sorry, didn't want to get fired up. But now, Dustin in Texas, he's calling in to talk about Wednesday's show in particular, Daniel Jeremiah Combine Breakdown. He shares his thoughts on some of these prospects, and I actually share the same thoughts as one of the prospects that has been mocked to the Raiders a few times, and he likes the guy that I mentioned early in segment number one. Here's my man, Dustin in Texas.
Hey, Q, Raider Nation. Hey, Q, I finally got caught up in all the podcasts, and, man, I'm sorry I'm called in so much the last 2 days. It's probably, I think, my fourth. But anyway, man, I want to be gone. Well, I want to miss a couple more. I'll have to catch up again on Saturday, so I wanted to get this in. I just listened to your the Daniel Jeremiah. Man, that he's good at what he does. Man, I miss, I'm going to miss Tom Mayock, man. Mayock was so, he was the best at his craft, man. So convincing. He sold me on players countless times. But anyway, I've been trying to scout some of these guys. I'm not completely clueless. I hit on some. I miss on some. You know, I played a little college ball, and I've coached a little some football, too. So I'm not completely, you know, just I recognize talent every once in a while. But I just wanted to say a couple things. I hope to God that we do not end up with Rashawn Gary. I mean, yeah, he's got talent, but to me, from, and it's all my opinion, but I don't see him coming off the edge. I don't see that he has been. He's got power. If you move him and keep him on the inside, yeah, I'll probably be a great player, but I don't see him playing much edge. Anyway, especially I don't see him being a top five pick. God, I hope we don't get him at four. Anyway, I agreed with Jeremiah on Deontay Thompson. I don't know if he was saying if he was high or low on him, but how people had him all over the board. I don't like Thompson. I haven't in a while. To me, the best safety by far is Nasir Adderley. And about the tight ends, I've called in one time saying I don't think it's a good tight end class. And there was a few guys I didn't realize, like I didn't think Irv Smith would be coming out, but you know, he ups the position a little bit. But my favorite tight end out of the whole thing is Caden Smith. And yeah, he probably will go in the third round, and he'd be a good get if we don't get cooked back. My absolute favorite player, the more and more I watch in this draft, is Devin White. I love Devin White. And if I could have it exactly how, if this draft could be exactly where I want it to be, it would be to trade down to somewhere in the 7 to 12 range, grab Devin White, hopefully pick up an extra second, and end up with Devin White, Nasir Adderley, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Julian Love, and then Rodney Anderson. That'd be a perfect draft for me. Anyway, Raider Nation, I want to check back in on Saturday. Have a good one.
All right, good stuff from my man Dustin in Texas. Definitely appreciate that. And you got to catch up, man. You got to stay up to date on the podcast. You can listen anywhere you go. You ain't got to be in a certain area to listen to it. Dustin, come on. Get on your A game. Nah, I just messing with you. I appreciate you chiming in whenever you can. Now, Smith Raider in Atlanta. He's calling to talk about the question I threw out there about John Ross and what would you be willing to give up for John Ross, who reportedly is on the trade block. Do you think the Raiders might want him? That's another question I threw out there. He also gave a little history of Mayock and his evaluation of the wide receiver position in the 2018 draft. Then he followed up what he'd be willing to give up for Ross. Really good detailed call from Smith Raider in Atlanta.
Hey, what's up, Q Raider Nation? This is Smith Raider in Atlanta. give him the call because UQ mentioned John Ross and how he's pretty much up for grabs right now as far as the trade goes and what people would give up for him. And so I went back and did the research with Mike Mayock and when he was an analyst, what he thought of John Ross. So I have some pros and some cons. We'll list the pros first real quick. So, and it's mostly quotes. So, quote, dynamic playmaker. I love that he can step in day one, help a team, both as a return guy and as a receiver. Legit first-round receiver. He's one of the most special receivers in this draft by far. And then he compared him to Brandon Cooks. Last quote, if you can take the medical out of it and just say vertical stretch, quick, fast, and good hands, Ross is very intriguing. Now, here's the downsides. It doesn't have anything to do with hands or speed or anything like that or route running. It's durability is a big issue with him right now. He's had surgery on his shoulder, both of his knees, and he has a small frame. All right, so he pretty much says if he's healthy, he's going to be great. It's pretty much the analysis that you can get from what Mike Mayock thought of him 2 years ago. There's no telling what he thinks now, but that was as of him in the draft. Right, so, and then you think, all right, that speed. First of all, Al Davis would have taken him in the first round because he has Raider speed. And John Gruden is a guy that appreciates Raider speed as well. So that's one thing. I went back a little bit, too, and researched what last year's draft with Mayock and what he thought of his top six receivers compared to how they actually did, right? So he ranked DJ Moore as the number one receiver. Out of his six, and I only compared them to the top six, so out of his six, his number one receiver ranked fifth. Calvin Ridley, he had ranked as number two. He ended up being ranked one overall after the season. Cortland Sutton was his third best receiver. He ended up being the second best of the lot. Christian Kirk, he had his four, ended up being fourth. His number five was James Washington. He ended up being the sixth. And then Anthony Miller, he had at six, and he ended up being the third best receiver out of that bunch. So he's right around there with his top six. I mean, they're all within the top six. They're just a little bit jumbled up. But, you know, there were no surprises, and there were no, like, bad, like, he didn't recognize this guy or that guy. I mean, they all did pretty good. His number two ranking of Ridley held up as number one. That was good. Cortland Sutton was number two. That was his three. Kirk, 4-4. So, like, he had a pretty good grasp at receiver. I'm not questioning his logic as far as how he ranks receivers and things like that. I think he has a pretty good head about himself with it. So, coming down to it, I think that Gruden, and this is just me, I think Gruden would love to have John Ross on the team for the right price, and same thing with Mayock. And I'm going to go out and say this, that gosh, right now, I don't know, man. I think I would give up a fourth this year and a seventh next year. And if not, would probably, I'm going to give up more than UQ, and I'm sorry. If not, then I would give up at least a fifth this year, along with probably a sixth next year in return form. So that's what I'd be willing to give up, either a fourth and a seventh, or fifth and sixth, and if we got that for John Ross, I mean, this guy's Raider speed. And we've been through it with Hayward Bay and a number of other guys, but, like, dude, this guy still, I mean, he has the speed. He can stretch the field. That's going to help Carr. So that's where I stand with it. Anyways, Raider Nation, love to hear your thoughts on it. Q, peace out.
Then, of course, he had to call back, too. So Smith Raider hit me back a second time. He called back to clarify his call on John Ross, further explain himself. But again, it was a really good call, so here he is.
Hey, Q, Smith Raider here. Just want to clarify real quick on my last call. The only way I would give up that fourth and seventh round pick for John Ross is if we don't draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I'm sort of hoping that we don't, because my guy in this draft, the guy that I really want, is Hunter Renfro out of Clemson, who's projected to be a second or third round pick. And the reason why, and this is pretty much the sole reason why, he's a little bit undersized, but Clemson, the people at Clemson are swearing that he hasn't dropped a pass in the 4 years that he was there. And he played significant time all 4 years. And the most I've done extensive research on this, and for some reason, you cannot find the stats as far as drop passes on Hunter Renfro, but the most that I've seen anyone say is two passes that he dropped in 4 years. So you're thinking half a pass a year. That's insane. It's just crazy. And that's a guy, I mean, he coming out of college, he's pretty much a young, able-bodied Jordy Nelson that you're putting on your team. And that someone, and a guy like that, that you can get in the second or third round, he's my number one, man. I want Hunter Renfro above all the other receivers strictly because of his reliability. We've seen way too many drop passes with the Raiders, and if you can get him, and then if you go out and get John Ross, like with that fourth and seventh or the fifth and sixth pick, like match it up however you want. You got a receiver that can stretch the field. You got a guy that Carr, you know, if Ross isn't open, that he can dump it to Renfro. Got Jordy Nelson there to teach him. Marcel Aitman, whatever you want to do with him, I don't know. But it just seems like a good formula for me at wide receiver. And maybe add another. You have to add another guy in free agency. But anyways, just wanted to clear that up. Anyways, Raider Nation, peace out.
And the final call of the day goes to my man Zane from South Carolina. He's calling to talk about the excuses that are being made for Derek Carr and if they are legit or not. Really good call from my man Zane in South Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, Q? I thought I'd call in after listening to today's podcast. So I forgot who it was, but he said that people are going out on a limb for Derek Carr. And honestly, I completely disagree. I don't think anything, or for the most part, people really haven't been saying anything that's really going out on a limb, you know? Like, they're all legitimate excuses. There's a lot of excuses, but they're legitimate. Obviously, most people who back Derek Carr also acknowledge that he's had his deficiencies. They have criticized him to a point where you can understand, like, so a lot of these excuses aren't just, like, little things. Like, oh, it's not like an excuse that other QBs get over. And especially all the excuses together, like injuries, terrible pass protection, and just bad team around him. I mean, can you really say that the team around Derek Carr has been good since 2016? I really can't make that argument. And all the offensive coordinator changes, and just everything together, I really don't think anyone's been going out on a limb for Derek Carr. I think all the excuses that people have been pointing out and making are completely legitimate. I don't think you can argue against really any of them. I just wanted to say that. I just don't feel like there's an argument for people going out on a limb for Derek Carr. Thanks, Q.
All right, man, appreciate that. Good stuff. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the episode today. I apologize for it being a little bit long. I know a lot of Raider Nation won't mind, but there are some people that might mind, so I apologize for it to go a little bit long, but it's the combine, it's the draft. We're all fired up, and we're all full speed ahead going to it. So Zane in South Carolina, Smith Raider in Atlanta a couple times, also PE in North Carolina, Dustin in Texas, John Train in Atlanta, Raider Al in Georgia a couple times. Appreciate all those calls. Appreciate MJ Acosta for giving me some time on the podcast. Sorry about the microphone, the way I sounded in segment number two. It was in a studio at the radio station that I don't like, but it is what it is. You got to work with what you got. So I apologize for that sound, or my sound. She sounded fine, but I sounded terrible. But it's all good. It is what it is. So that's Thursday's edition, Raider Nation. Hopefully you enjoyed it. On Friday, we'll have a lot more calls. I'll have a lot more stuff to bring to the table. John Gruden's going to talk today. Matter of fact, depending on what time you're listening to this, he probably already talked. So 9 a.m. Eastern time is the time that he's going to talk at the Combine. So until next time, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.